So I'd like to begin by first thanking the organizers of this session for the opportunity to present. The work that I will be describing is the recent findings from the health effects of arsenic longitudinal study with an emphasis on effects in the low-dose arsenic exposure range. And before I begin, I have no financial interests or conflicts of interest to disclose. So the rural population of Bangladesh is primarily exposed to naturally occurring arsenic in drinking water through the consumption of groundwater that's accessed by tube wells. And these wells were first installed in the population largely beginning in the 1960s and 1970s as part of a national public health campaign in the country in an effort to promote the consumption of groundwater as opposed to surface water, which was associated with increased infant mortality and morbidity in that population due to waterborne diarrheal diseases, which this intervention actually largely proved to be effective towards. However, it wasn't until the 1990s that it was realized that there were elevated concentrations of arsenic in the groundwater in Bangladesh, and this was realized with the occurrence of an epidemic of skin lesions, which is a hallmark characteristic of arsenic toxicity in rural Bangladeshi villages. And so we know from epidemiologic evidence that arsenic is a known human carcinogen. Arsenic in drinking water is a public health problem that faces not only the population of Bangladesh, but it affects millions of individuals worldwide. The countries that I've listed on this slide have had arsenic in their drinking water detected at concentrations greater than 10 micrograms per liter, which is the permissible level of arsenic that's suggested by the US EPA as well as the World Health Organization, or at concentrations that are higher than the country's own national prevailing standard for arsenic in drinking water. And what's notable about this is that there is a large geographic variability in the populations that are affected by arsenic in drinking water. Our estimates for the affected population of Bangladesh are much less reliable. However, our best data comes from the British Geological Survey of Wells, which was conducted in the late 1990s in Bangladesh. And from this well survey, they detected that 27% of wells had arsenic concentrations greater than 50 micrograms per liter, which is the Bangladeshi national prevailing standard for arsenic in drinking water, and that 46% of their sampled wells had arsenic concentrations that are greater than 10 micrograms per liter, so the level that's regulated by the US EPA and the WHO. They then used the population census estimates for 2000 and were able to project that at that time 28 to 35 million individuals in Bangladesh were exposed to arsenic concentrations in their drinking water greater than 50 micrograms per liter, and that 46 to 57 million individuals were exposed to arsenic concentrations greater than 10 micrograms per liter. As I've mentioned, arsenic is a known human carcinogen. However, it's been associated through epidemiologic investigation with several other health effects. It's been associated with skin lesions and non-melanoma cancers of the skin, internal cancers, including those of the urinary tract, lung, liver. It's been associated with developmental delays in children, neurological effects, hypertension and cardiovascular disease, pulmonary disease, peripheral vascular disease, mortality, and reproductive effects in both men and women. However, epidemiologic evidence at the low to moderate exposure levels has been less well established. And so this dose range, we would say, is less than 300 micrograms per liter, where evidence has been much less reliable. And this has largely been to limitations of the prior studies, which has included smaller study samples, which has made it difficult to detect smaller associations that may be present in the lower dose range, unreliable measures of arsenic exposure, and the use of aggregate or ecologic measures of arsenic exposure, which are then assigned to the individual. Additionally, it's been difficult to assess associations of low to moderate arsenic exposure in many populations because of the heterogeneity of drinking water sources and due to high migration rates in these populations. So the data that I'll be presenting is from the Health Effects of Arsenic Longitudinal Study cohort. And this cohort was established in the Arihazar region of Bangladesh between 2000 and 2002, and it's part of Columbia University's Superfund research program. Between 2000 and 2002, approximately 12,000 adults were enrolled into the cohort. The cohort was later expanded to 20,000 individuals between 2006 and 2008, and we recently reopened the cohort to increase enrollment with a targeted 30,000 individuals for inclusion in the study. So currently, the cohort consists of adults who have been known to be chronically exposed to various concentrations of arsenic in their drinking water. And criteria for inclusion into the study included that an individual report being married. This was in an effort to reduce loss from the study cohort due to migration out of the study area because of marriage. That they report being between the ages of 18 and 75 years at the time of enrollment, and report having resided in the study area for at least 5 years. Among the individuals who we approached for enrollment into the study, approximately 97% agreed to participate. So here I show our city area, Arihazar, which is approximately 25 kilometers east of the capital city of Dhaka. It is a rural population with a lower socioeconomic status by the Bangladeshi sort of standard for socioeconomic status. So individuals who are enrolled in the cohort undergo a baseline and 2 yearly follow-up examination. The interview consists of a study physician-administered interview in Bangla using a structured questionnaire, which is administered in the participant's home. And this includes an assessment of patterns and history of well use, demographic and lifestyle characteristics, and a validated food frequency questionnaire is also administered. In addition to the questionnaire, a comprehensive clinical and skin examination is conducted, and a spot urine sample is collected at each interview, which is primarily used to assess the urinary total arsenic concentration of the individual. Prior to the enrollment of participants into the cohort, a pre-well cohort survey was conducted, which assessed the well arsenic concentration of all the study wells in the study area. So the results of the well survey are shown on this map. Wells whose arsenic concentration was measured to be less than 50 micrograms per liter are shown in turquoise and green, and those wells with arsenic concentrations greater than 50 micrograms per liter are shown in the various shades of red and black. So what's notable from this slide is that the well arsenic concentration is quite varied in the geographic study area, which is 25 square kilometers, and that a well whose arsenic concentration is relatively low often can be found in very close proximity to a well that has very high arsenic concentrations. So arsenic exposure is assessed for each individual in the cohort, and this is based on linking an individual to their well water arsenic concentration, which was measured using graphite furnace atomic absorption spectrometry, whose limit of detection is 5 micrograms per liter. Samples whose detection levels fell below this were subsequently reanalyzed using inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry, which has a limited detection of 0.1 micrograms per liter. We also measure the urinary total arsenic concentration for each individual in the spot urine sample, and this is measured using graphite furnace atomic absorption spectrometry with a limit of detection of 2 micrograms per liter. And because it's a spot urine sample, we standardize by creatinine, which we express arsenic then as micrograms of arsenic per gram creatinine. So here I show the baseline arsenic distribution for the 20,000 person cohort, and we can just focus on the well water arsenic concentrations because these are more readily interpretable at this point. So what's notable is that approximately 70% of our baseline cohort is exposed to concentrations greater than 10 micrograms per liter in their drinking water, and that a sizable portion of this is in the low to moderate dose range. Just to present some of the selected baseline characteristics of the cohort, our cohort is predominantly female. The median age at the time of enrollment was 32. Approximately 40% of the cohort has a BMI that's considered to be underweight. Approximately 40% of the cohort reports having obtained no formal education. And approximately 30% of the cohort reports either being a former or current smoker, although we see smoking primarily reported among the male population of the cohort. So the first health outcome that I'll report data for is skin lesions. And as I've mentioned, skin lesions are a hallmark of arsenic toxicity. We know that skin is a major target organ for arsenic, and it manifests as melanosis or leukomelanosis, which is primarily a change in the hyperpigmentation of the skin, melanosis presenting as a hyperpigmentation of the skin, and leukomelanosis as a hypopigmentation of the skin. A more severe form of skin lesions, which is also seen, is keratosis, and this is a general thickening of the skin. So the lesions themselves may be of interest because they're thought to progress to non-melanoma skin cancers, but they also may signal a high-risk population, which is susceptible to other health-related outcomes of arsenic. So our first objective was then to evaluate the dose-response relationship between well water, arsenic, and skin lesions, and I'll emphasize the results that we see in the low to moderate dose range. So at the time of enrollment, we had approximately 700 individuals with prevalent skin lesions. In a cross-sectional analysis, we looked at the association between quintiles of well water arsenic with prevalent skin lesions. And we see a clear dose-response relationship between the quintiles of well water arsenic with skin lesion prevalence. And I'd like to especially point out that we see increased significant odds ratios in the range between 10 micrograms and 100 micrograms per liter. Over 6 years of follow-up of the cohort, we accumulated approximately 800 incident skin lesion cases. And again, we looked at the relationship between quintiles of well water arsenic with skin lesion incidence. And again, we see a clear dose response pattern between well water arsenic concentrations with skin lesion incidence, with a borderline increased risk in the 10 to 50 microgram per liter dose range and an elevated increased risk in the 50 to 100 microgram per liter dose range. The second outcome that I'd like to present is mortality. Increased mortality and chronic disease mortality have been established from prior epidemiologic studies, primarily in Taiwan, but also in studies from the US, Chile, and Bangladesh. And so evidence of a dose-response relationship has been suggested from this prior work, although the effects at the lower dose range have been less clear. So within the first 6 years of follow-up from our study cohort, we evaluated the effects of arsenic exposure on all-cause mortality, chronic disease mortality, and cardiovascular disease mortality. So briefly, just to tell you how death was ascertained, in our 2 yearly follow-up visits for study participants, the vital status was ascertained from either family members or neighbors if a participant themselves was not available. And then in order to determine cause of death, we used a validated verbal autopsy instrument to ascertain cause of death. So the death informant participated in this questionnaire, and the study physician also collected any supplemental documents that were related to the death of the study participant. So this might have included information from a doctor's visit, hospital visits, or any prescriptions that the participant might have had prior to their death. And these documents were then examined by an expert panel of physicians, and a cause of death was determined. And so here again, we'll just focus on the results for well water arsenic concentration. And so here we see, based on quartiles of well water arsenic, a somewhat evident relationship of increased dose response with all-cause mortality. Although we have only approximately 400 deaths ascertained in the first 6 years of follow-up of this cohort. And so while we see a borderline increased risk in the 10 to 100 microgram per liter range, our sample is still quite small in this exposure range to make firm conclusions regarding this. And then we also looked at chronic disease mortality as a study outcome, which was essentially eliminating deaths that were related to infection or pregnancy complications or accidents. And we see a slightly stronger dose response association between quartiles of well water arsenic and chronic disease mortality. Although again, the numbers are quite small in the lower exposure dose range, although it suggests there possibly may be effects in this range. And so we also look to see what proportion of deaths would be attributable to these concentrations of arsenic. And based on our study estimates, we estimated that approximately 21% of these deaths could have been delayed if individuals had been drinking water arsenic concentrations less than 10 micrograms per liter in terms of all-cause mortality. And that 24% of these chronic disease deaths could have been delayed if individuals had been exposed to concentrations less than 10 micrograms per liter in this population. We also evaluated whether arsenic was related to chronic disease, to cardiovascular disease mortality. And we found evidence of a dose-response relationship when we looked at cardiovascular events that were identified either as ischemic or other heart disease-related mortalities. And again, because the sample size is quite small, we had approximately a little larger than 200 cardiovascular disease deaths that fell in this category. We see evidence of increased effects in the low to moderate dose range, but again, they're not statistically significant due to the small number of events that we observe in these ranges. And finally, we've also evaluated respiratory disease in this cohort within 6 years of follow-up of the original cohort. And again, there's been a large number of evidence to suggest that non-malignant respiratory effects are associated with arsenic. However, the evidence in the low to moderate dose range has not been well established. So the objective of this analysis was then to look at the effect of low to moderate dose arsenic exposure in relation to risk of respiratory symptoms. So this was identified as individuals who reported having chronic cough, breathing difficulty, or blood present in their sputum in the 6 years subsequent to enrollment. And so we see a clear dose response pattern based on quintiles of well water arsenic exposure with the risk of having reported any one of these respiratory symptoms. And again, the effects that we see in the 7 through essentially 100 microgram per liter dose range follow a dose response pattern and are significant in these levels. And then when we break the respiratory symptoms down into their individual components, so looking separately at chronic cough, breathing problems, and blood and sputum, we see that the major contributor to this increased risk is individuals reporting breathing problems subsequent to enrollment into the cohort. So the implications of this work and some future directions are that both cross-sectional and prospective analyses using these cohort data have demonstrated an increased risk of these various health outcomes associated in a dose-dependent manner, but especially showing effects in the lower dose range. One limitation of our assessment of water arsenic in this population is that we measure water arsenic at the baseline assessment of the study cohort. And because these wells were not labeled prior to the study initiation in 2000, individuals didn't actually know what the concentration of arsenic in their drinking water was. And they were also unlikely to switch water sources dependent on the concentration of arsenic prior to the start of our study in that population. And so we assume that the baseline measure of arsenic in this population is sort of a good estimate of what their chronic historical levels are, although at this point we haven't completed a full assessment of their historical arsenic exposure. So most individuals would have been exposed as early as 1970, and we've captured exposure in 2000. So we would have to fully recreate that that period in order to have an accurate measure of what their exposure was for that complete time. And so because individuals post-enrollment into our cohort have switched their water sources, we also would be interested in looking at what effect remediation of arsenic has on these health effects. So how persistent are the effects of arsenic on these health effects after the exposure has been removed, which is something that we can do with future follow-up of the cohort. So I'd like to conclude by acknowledging all the individuals who have contributed to these various studies. And in particular, I'd like to acknowledge the principal investigator of this work, Dr. Habibul Hassan, who is at the University of Chicago. Thank you.